Give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to Rarious Fundamental Podcast, episode 36. The Wild Wild West. What's up, Internet? This is the Rarious Fundamental Podcast, episode 36, recorded on October the 25th, 2015, brought to you by RareRay.net and syndicated by the Happy Hour Network. I am your sexy party host, RareRay, and it is also the second part of our NBA season preview of Robbie Callen and Adam Jacoby. So I'm not going to waste your time. We're going to get right into the Western Conference, okay? Scratch.
Western Conference, always a tough conference to go to, tough competition all the time. The top 5-6 teams are always, like, in a, jumbled up, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, you can pick 1 through 6, and I won't have any problem with it, like, in any order. So, the top 6 teams we know are San Antonio, Golden State, Houston, Oklahoma City, Memphis, the Clippers. What's your order from 1 through 6? Or at least top 3. Or something.
Golden State. God, I hate this. Golden State. I'm going to say OKC. Mm-hmm. And Spurs?
Like I said, I won't get mad if it's like 81 through 6 because it's like they're... It's
Spurs, Spurs or Clippers there for me?
Yeah.
Because they're all probably going to be like 4 games apart at the end of the season.
Yeah,
right,
like,
right.
Who knows? And like the thing with the Spurs for me is like Tony Parker started looking old at the end of the year in the playoffs a little bit. Like he started looking old, which for a point guard is always a bit worrisome for me. He started looking old, but... You know, I'm interested to see how they integrate Aldridge in to that whole thing, and I think Kawhi is just a monster. You can't dribble. You can't dribble near him. If you dribble near him, he just takes your cookies. Yeah. Okay. I'll say Spurs then Clippers. Those are my top 4. Those are my 4.
Okay.
Okay.
I believe in OKC this year.
Mm-hmm.
Healthy, please.
Yes. Yes.
Please. Because Durant looks good again in the preseason, and Russ is everything.
Oh, gosh, Russ. So probably the most fun player to watch last season.
Oh, my God. He's so good. He's so fun. He does not care about anything, particularly your well-being as an opposing player.
And then you need him in the face. He scores 40 points anyway.
That was insane. He had a hole in his face.
Jeez.
That run he had last year was one of the more incredible things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The 40-point triple-double run.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, when he
generally
when he decides
of individual performances.
Yeah, when he decides he's putting the game on his back, he is unstoppable. Unstoppable.
And he has Durant as a teammate. Like, that's like, now I'm really more excited to see OKC on that situation because, like, Russell Westbrook's all powered up now. And Kevin Durant's coming back, if he goes back into his MVP mode, like, it's almost tough to pick against OKC.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. Right. And frankly, this is the run that they have been, or this is a situation that they've been due for years and years, but have always been sort of cheated out of by injuries come playoff time. So, yeah, hopefully we get, you know, an honest-to-goodness deep, healthy playoff run from this program. Otherwise, it'd be just a shame. I would. And also, I'm awfully happy that we are officially done with the should we break up Westbrook and Durant stuff? Like, as if they'd be better, like, not with each other. Like, nobody believes that at this point, right? Nobody thinks that. Like, Durant might go somewhere else. Like, there might be a better place for him to play than Oklahoma City, but it's not because Westbrook's in Oklahoma City and he has to get away from it. Like, we know for a fact that the Thunder are worse when they don't have both of them healthy on the court. So, but I'm glad we're done with that. In terms of my top three, I would say Golden State number one. There's just no reason not to, to pick them number one. Number two, Houston. They're loaded again, right?
A lot of people like them to come out of the West. And, like, again, like what Ray, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
They look good. I don't. They're the team I trust the least, but maybe like the most of the non-Golden State teams. I don't know if I'd, like, trust a team with Harden and Howard and those guys not to just kind of gift games away. But then again, Howard literally carried the team to the finals one year.
Yeah, he did.
Like, he knows what he's doing. When he gets, like, he's in the playoffs, Dwight Howard's a beast.
Yeah.
Like, he can make all the fart jokes he wants. Be immature and whatever. But, man.
Yeah.
He can get it done. And, like, I don't know. The West is so hard to figure. Like, I just hope my only thing in the West that I want is just general health. Like, I know it's stupid to say everybody's going to be healthy. But let's get guys generally healthy, the stars and everything, so we have for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you give me Harden, Curry, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, Howard, Duncan, Aldridge, those guys, like, just give me those guys healthy, and it'll be the best playoffs. And it's just going to be phenomenal.
Yeah.
Can we get Boogie to the playoffs? Like,
no.
Why not?
Because he's on the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kings aren't
can,
good.
I think the Kings can at least challenge for a playoff spot.
No,
here's how the Kings. Yeah, I was gonna say the way you get the Kings to challenge for the playoff spot is to move them to the East Coast and have them play.
Well,
the
that's
Eastern.
Like every West team.
Well, yeah, but the Kings especially.
Yeah, the Kings are one of those teams that, like, in the East is can probably, like, squeeze out 38 to 40 wins and, like, make that 8 seed. And then, like, can you imagine being the number one seed that has to play DeMarcus Cousins? Like, you know he's giving you 41 game and probably going to beat you.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to be on that old Dwight tip where he just, okay, I'm winning this game. The Kings just, they're not there. Love Cousins. Rudy Gay's been good in Sacramento. Like, he's been not Rudy Gay in Toronto at the end, not Rudy Gay in...
Well, because he's not the number one guy. That's why.
Well, yeah, that's helpful. I'm not a believer in... I'm out on Rondo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm out. I don't know. I just can't see them. I mean, you mentioned those six teams that are going to be in the West. Then you got the Pelicans, who I think are better than the Kings. Although health is a question mark there.
Well, that's always a question
right.
mark.
Right. And then, honestly, I think Utah's a better team than Sacramento.
Well, I'm not saying Sacramento's getting into the playoffs. I'm just saying they're a fringe playoff. They have a chance for a playoff spot, but I get there.
Sure. I'm just saying, like, I think they're probably the 10th best team in the West.
There's also Phoenix that's,
who knows?
You know,
they can,
fringe.
They can implode
at
any time.
Yeah.
They did last year.
Yeah.
Just where the entire team's like, no, we're going to not play.
Dallas is going to be horrible.
Yeah.
Portland's going to be bad, too. Denver.
Portland's the worst team. I think Denver on the uptick a little bit. On the uptick. I think they do better than Dallas. I think they do better than Portland. I think they do better than the Lakers.
Well, the Lakers are terrible.
Yeah. This is not like a rave review.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't me saying they're going to be an 8 seed, but, like, it wouldn't surprise me if they're the 10. I think the Nuggets could be okay. I think their win total is, like, 30. I think they can get over that. I think it's a 35 win team.
But what about Memphis? Like, I think they're the most dangerous team every season because they played a real playoff style, like, in the 90s, basically, you know? They just don't have any offense to make up for it.
Yeah, I think we're all just waiting for the, like... They're the team that I think makes the most abrupt drop when they do it. I don't know if that's this year. I don't know if it's next year. Mm-hmm. But But I just feel like all their guys, not named Mike Conley, Tony Allen, Marc Gasol, Zach Randolph, all just kind of like will just take that step back together, and it's going to be ugly. I don't think it's this year. I'm not saying this year. I still think they're a quality team this year that's going to challenge. They're going to play defense. But, like, people are saying Marc Gasol's not quite, you know, the day-to-day defense. He's not making the rotations quite as quick. He's starting to lose a little bit of a step. He's still a great player. I still think he's probably the best center in the best center not named. I don't know if Anthony Davis is a center. What the hell is Anthony Davis? Power forward?
What is he?
I think he's power forward.
A monster?
Yeah, he's death from above.
Yes.
Like, Marc Gasol's in that, like, he's, I think maybe he's finally taking that step below, like, DeMarcus Cousins, but he's still, like, a top three center in the league. But I'm afraid when he takes a step back defensively, Zebo just is going to get slower. Like,
he's 35.
Progressively. Man. He's old. He's got miles on those tires.
Yeah.
And at some point, you got to think Tony Allen, with all the effort he gives, all the, you know, I mean, once he loses a step, it's going to be rough. And then the shooting is always a question mark in Memphis.
Yeah.
Well, we sort of saw the beginning of the end with him during the playoffs when he played defense so hard that he broke himself.
Yeah.
But there's no reason to think that that'll never happen again, you know, as he gets older and there's more tread on his tires. You know, it sort of comes with the territory from, you know, that style of play, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I get what you're getting at.
All right, so who wins the West?
I'm not picking against the Warriors. I think it's Warriors OKC. And I'm going to say the Warriors. The one thing I'll say is they were really healthy last year.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Aside from the occasional Bogut knock. Mm-hmm. I guess how much was Bogut out for the playoffs? He's out a bit, right? But like
they didn't play him against Cleveland because of matchup.
Yeah. They just sat him. Fine. Like, and I think the thing I like about them the most is I think no team's better equipped to handle an injury to a non-Steph, non-Clay. Like, those two guys got to be healthy, but, like, and I think Draymond super crucial, but, like, even if Draymond goes out for a bit, you have Bogut and you go a little bigger. I think they can play both of those styles. I think they're better when they go small.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I think they're equipped to kind of handle and kind of weather the storm if somebody went down for a little bit. But just basically, I mean, they didn't lose anybody of vital importance. And they're just so good. Like, Steph's just stupid.
Yeah, the plays he's been making in the preseason, he's ready for another season just like that. He's ready.
He should just play blindfolded just to make it fair or something.
Yeah. You should be able to, like, have an extra defender. like a power play. Like, you just get to run a sixth guy out there, and then he has to get off the court when you get the ball back. Same goes for defending Anthony Davis. You can put, like, a guy on top of a guy.
The guy's going to be shooting three-pointers this season. It's so frightening.
He was 7 of 13 in the preseason from three.
Oh, no.
He's going to set everything on fire.
Yeah, I think it was Snotty Drippin, God bless him. He and Will Reeve were talking a couple months back, and everyone was like, boy, yeah, I think Anthony Davis might be working his way into first team All-NBA in the next 3 years. And it's like, this was what other people were telling them. And it's like, oh, no.
You don't
get it, do you?
this is happening now.
This is not a 2018 situation. The revolution is upon us.
Yeah, it's going to happen in October 27, 2015.
Right.
You know, that's when it starts, basically.
He is...
frightening.
It's
Would
hard
be
for me
surprised
not
if he,
being the
if
MVP.
He wins, yeah, I was going to say, if he wins the MVP this year, are you surprised? Because
no.
I'm not.
I won't be, but it's going to be tough because when was the last time
yeah, it's,
the MVP was awarded to a team with a 6-7 seed.
Right.
Probably never, you know?
Right.
I'll say the reason I say that is the only reason I'd be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if Anthony Davis won it and had the numbers to win it and had the performance to win it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Exactly.
I would be surprised a little bit if voters rewarded him for it and actually recognize what he does for that team. Like, if the Pelicans make the playoffs with the injuries they have to start the season and that kind of roster, like, if they're like an 8-seed, 7-seed, he probably is going to have MVP numbers. Like, that's how they get there. And he should win it, barring another, like, historic season from Steph or KD coming back and being KD plus one, like, which could happen.
Yeah.
I always worry about foot injuries. Foot injuries scare me, especially a guy when he had 3 surgeries. But he looks good, and I hope he, you know. But I think, honestly, they'll be a little cautious with KD. You know, maybe the occasional back-to-back rest.
Right.
Which can always kind of dampen a guy's chances at MVP. Again, I think LeBron only plays like 70 games. So I think you're honestly talking Steph, AD, and KD, and it just kind of depends there.
Yeah.
On what they do with KD.
I think another thing that might hamper Davis is the fact that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it was certainly the case last year. He just never got to see the Pelicans on TV. And I haven't seen anything about them being on, you know, like 30 TNT games this year or anything like that. And usually, you know, teams like that don't get the TV recognition until the year after a deep playoff run, when everyone's like, okay, I need to be seeing a whole lot more of this.
Yeah.
And so, and that's probably going to hamper his national standing, which is totally unfair.
Well,
yeah,
that's how it works.
Riotously unfair, but it sort of worked against the Raptors for the longest time too.
Well, they can take away one of those Lakers games from ESPN and because the Lakers have a ridiculous amount of games on national television
every stupid year.
Yeah. So I have. See, here's the thing. Like, I'm still cautious about OKC. If they're completely healthy, I would have them in the conference finals, or even the finals. But in the meantime, I'll have the Warriors and the Spurs in the West finals. Warriors taking it, but the Thunder are such a wild card right now.
Yeah,
I really don't know what to think of them.
Yeah,
Adam,
I feel like you can't pick against the Warriors yet. There's got to be something that happens, and it's probably going to be something that we don't see coming. You know, a bad injury here or there, or what have you. But I don't. Unless you want to say that Steve Kerr's absence is going to have a hugely detrimental effect on the team, which is, I guess, possible. But, you know, it's not as if he's, you know, just off in a dark room somewhere. I mean, you know, he has some limited contact with the team already, and they're even though they don't have a timetable, I think that, you know, we'll see plenty of him this season. But yeah, other than that, how do you pick against Golden State yet? Because I don't know how you do.
No.
So even though there are so many good teams in the West this year, just so many, we have seen Golden State make a dominant playoff run, and it's not just that they're wearing the same jerseys; it's basically all the exact same guys coming back.
So, Warriors-Cavs finals, I guess. Again,
I'd be fine with it. If they're both healthy this time around and we get, like, a legit finals out of it, let's go, man.
I'm all for it, yeah.
Run it back.
Yeah. Yep. So basically, in my thing is Cleveland in the East, far above everybody else. In the West, I will not be surprised if it's one of the 6 top teams going to the finals, but I'm still picking the Warriors, so.
We're taking a break, and we'll be right back with more Western Conference talk with Robbie Callen and Adam Jacoby.
This is Keith Boss Claus. You see, you're chilling with us on the Ray Ray Fundamental Podcast. They're playing basketball. We love that basketball. They're playing basketball.
Now rapping basketball. Number 1, Ernest Lowe. Basketball is my favorite sport.
I like the way to dribble up and down the court, just like I'm looking on the microphone. So it's Dr. J and Moses Malone. I like slam dunks and taking it to the hoop. My favorite play is the alley-oop. I like the pick and roll, I like the give and go, cause it's basketball, but Mr. Curtis knows.
Riley wanted to talk about rookies, but really he only cares about two of them.
Only care about two. I mean, like, so, look, I'm gonna do like 30 seconds to get the rest out of the way. Okay. Towns, fun, excited to see what that young team in Minnesota does. He's looked really fun. He's a really good passer, all that. D'Angelo Russell, best of luck driving that clown car in L.A. And trying to feed the ball to any combination of Nick Young, Lou Williams, and Kobe Bryant. I salute you, young man. Do your dab.
That's fun on its own, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do your dab. Do your thing. Best of luck. Mm-hmm.
Okafor.
Okafor.
Sixers.
Monster. offensive beast on a team that I could care less about.
And hope he doesn't get cut next day.
Don't get hurt. And I'm really excited to see, like, the rare – there's going to be an occasional night where he probably drops 40 on somebody. Mm-hmm. Like, because the dude can get buckets, and they don't have anybody else that can score. So lead the rookies in scoring. Do your thing, Jaleel. Anybody else that's even worthwhile? Justice Winslow with the Heat, interesting. Can he shoot at all? Mm-hmm. That's going to be key. But I really like him kind of learning under Wade. I think it's a good transition for him. Interesting to see what he can do. That's about it. That's about the only ones that matter. Except for the big two. Zinger. Let's start with the zinger.
Yes.
The god.
7'3", right?
7'3". Used to have cornrows as a child. Is not embarrassed about having cornrows as a child, which tells me a lot.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
He is not going to be afraid of New York. I think the one thing you worry about with a rookie, especially a rookie from overseas, when you're the New York Knicks, is the dude going to be able to handle it? This dude loves the media.
Oh, yeah.
He holds court. Like at Summer League, he was holding court. English is great. It likes to have fun. Mm-hmm. Loves hip-hop. Loves that. Talking about reading World Star to learn about America, which is the best way to learn about America. That's honestly what history classes should be.
Everything you need to know about America, everything you need to know, you can find out on World Star.
Need to know. That's the crucial thing. That's the crucial. Yeah. That's the necessity. Just the bare necessities are on World Star. And the dude's 7'3". He hoists three-pointers. Mm-hmm. He does, apparently in scrimmage yesterday, he did a put-back reverse dunk off of Sasha Vujacic, Mitch, which, can we – the machine is back.
The machine.
I love the machine.
The well-oiled machine.
Yes, sir.
That – Vujacic.
Yes, sir.
Oh, it's incredible. Stipple's getting the band back together. It's great. Zinger's everything. Zinger's going to be so much fun. Because, like, I honestly think he's a really good fit next to Melo just as a guy that can space out – from the four or the five, wherever he plays, see his ability to put the ball on the floor because I think teams are going to close pretty hard on him. And if he can learn to put it on the deck, take two dribbles, and make a play, like, we got ourselves a little fun in New York. Also, Jerian Grant's been pretty good for them. Shout out to the Hawks for gifting.
Yeah. And the Sixers cut him, right? Like, last year or something? I feel like they did.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No, Jerian Grant was the draft pick this year. He was the one that the Hawks traded for Tim Hardaway Jr., which, sure.
Okay.
Whatever.
Okay.
Do you. Okay. Yeah, so Zinger's going to be a lot of fun hoisting the ball. He's actually looked pretty decent on defense. I think he's going to be a really good player. And I'm buying in. Not quite as hard as Mario Hezonja. The man's a hero.
Yes.
He threw a in-game bounce pass alley-oop, like mid-third quarter.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Scott Skiles' team, no less.
Yes.
Scott Skiles' team.
So awesome.
He's going to get benched for weeks at a time.
Yes.
Like, not like, oh, what's, did Hazonia catch a DNP? It's going to be like, oh, he caught his eighth consecutive DNP CD, which is decision. Skiles literally builds a doghouse for him at the end of the bench to sit in. Okay. But when he gets on the court, the moment I knew the dude was going to be the best was, I said, like, before the draft, people were passing around clips, like YouTube clips. And the best was in a game in which his team was up 25 with, like, 20 seconds left.
Yes.
He got the ball and just kind of, like, threw it forward to himself, ran around somebody, went out of bounds, ran around somebody, picked it back up, and then did a windmill dunk.
Just like, a totally unnecessary play on multiple levels.
And then
the game's
like,
over.
By a lot, could have run out the shot clock, but nah, playboy. We got to throw it down. And he's going to be so much fun. He will shoot. He's not shy about letting it go. The one thing I was kind of mad that Hazonia ended up in Orlando because, one, Skiles is going to bury him.
Yeah.
Two, he deserved a big market. There's an Instagram account, and there are conflicting reports about whether it's actually him or not, or whether it's just pictures of him that someone puts awesome captions under. And either way,
awesome.
It doesn't particularly matter. There's one of him holding a box that has a fragile sign, and it just says the ankles of the competition. And it's my it's maybe my favorite picture on the internet. And if it's
It is mine now. I haven't even seen it yet.
if it's really him, it's the greatest athlete Instagram post of all time.
Just the fact that you could say, oh, I mean, like, you'd never expect it. If somebody did that for, let's say, LaMarcus Aldridge, people would be like, well, okay, that's clearly a parody account. You see it for Hazonia, who we haven't even seen stateside, or like that we hadn't even seen him over here when he got drafted and people found it. And everyone was like, ooh, he might have actually done that.
Right, like there's totally, like a legit question.
It totally passed the smell test.
Oh, 100%. Like someone was like, I don't think that's him. And I'm like, you bite your tongue.
Right.
Okay, you let me have one. I need this. One, I need this. I'm going to maybe suspend reality a bit. And there's like a, I'd say there's like a 50-50 chance that it's real, which is enough. That's enough. And like, he was doing wild stuff. Like, he put somebody on a poster in Orlando Summer League.
Yeah, I remember that.
Like,
yeah.
Just
yeah.
out of nowhere, caught a ball in the wing, two dribbles, and just took off and easy eat him.
Monstered it.
Just easy eat him. Nuts on your chin.
Oh, man.
I love Hazonia. He's going to be so fun.
I'm just going to toss this out there.
Go for it.
But I feel like we might be beholding the Croatian Ricky.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Think, yeah.
Don't let Harper hear you talk like that.
Hey, Ricky went to Iowa too. Ricky's been my boy since he was wearing black and gold in the number 23. I've been down with Ricky since the 90s, man.
Which Hazonia wears 23.
There you go.
And is pretty quickly like top five all time to ever wear the number. No qualms about that. Like,
right.
There was some dude named Michael, LeBron, and then, like, I'd say Hazonia. It was, like, right there. Maybe T2 with LeBron.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that's
fair. I think it's fair to say that. I think it's fair to say that. And by the end of the year, we'll usurp both.
Yes, clearly. I don't make the Ricky comparisons lightly. You've never heard me say that about, like, Tim Hardaway III. Or no, it's Glenn Robinson III, Tim Hardaway Jr. Anyway, yeah, none of them. No. This is the highest praise I can give the man by saying that he could be the Croatian Ricky.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I mean, I don't think there is a higher honor to have bestowed upon you.
There's not.
Just the faith in you to get buckets. Yeah, I mean, like, I think the real test to know if, like, you can is if somebody's like the whatever Ricky is, would you believe that he would throw a ball off the wrong basket to get a triple double?
Instantly, yes.
And with Hazonia, it's an emphatic yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the bench line. Like, that's the baseline. Mm-hmm. And exactly. And would he think that LeBron was being brought in to be his like sidekick? That's still an all-time quote.
Mm-hmm.
Really? I thought they were bringing LeBron in to help me. Yes, sir. That's why they brought in the best high school prospect in history. Help out Ricky Davis. You right? You right?
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Oh, Croatian Ricky. So great.
I'm telling you.
But
trademark is bad in Jacoby. Like, we gotta file that one away.
Yes, sir. But outside of Zinger and his launch, really, like, I don't know. Moody might be fun.
Oh yeah, I forgot about Moody. Yeah. I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Justice Winslow's probably gonna be fun. Kaminsky's probably gonna be okay, I guess.
I think Kaminsky's sneaky fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One, he dances
really well.
He's super weird.
Yeah.
Like, he's the weirdest rookie by far.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's going to have the most Vine moments off the court of anybody. Like, yes. Like, there's going to be a lot of locker room Vines or bus Vines and stuff of Frank doing stupid stuff.
Yes.
Which is great.
He looks like a Great Dane.
Never thought of it that way, but you're right.
No, his face, you know how Great Danes, they look like their face is just going to melt off their, or like the, off their skull?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's already happening with him.
That's a really good point.
And he's just all limbs and goofiness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have to make sure that he doesn't get bloat when he eats.
Like, should you just give a nickname to, like, every rookie in this draft class? Because now you have the Croatian rookie and the Great Dane.
I feel like I can stop there and I'm fine.
Yeah, I think that's for the best. They need to come naturally. We can't force these.
Okay.
Moody is great. One, because when he does good plays, he has the easiest pun. Moody, yay. Like,
yes.
That's a freebie.
Mm-hmm.
But if he doesn't play well, then you get the Moody blues.
Yeah. See?
Pretty hip reference there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the kids will love it. Adam knows how to tap into the youth culture.
Oh,
like no other. I mean, the rookie class, hey, we'll see what happens. The last two have just been so disappointing. Last year because of injuries, like, everybody got hurt. Like, I'm excited for Randall.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing that I say about Julius, and people are kind of giving me looks, but, like, there's, like, one thing. He's got his love of bringing the ball up the floor is very Josh Smithian.
Uh-oh.
Which, no, that's good. That's a good thing. That's a good thing because it's hilarious. as long as you're not a Lakers fan. And, like, he gets really excited when he gets to dribble. And it, like, starts bouncing up by his ears. and, like
Teen Wolf in it?
Yeah, he can't really stop himself. So, like, then he tries to stop and picks the ball up and has to either throw a wild pass, which sometimes are great. Like, he and Josh both like the behind-the-back pass. Like, he likes to get fancy with it, which Josh did too.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I see a little bit of that there. That's something to look for. Especially with all those other, like, shooters and ball handlers on the team, it's going to be really funny when they have, like, three guards and Julius is just, like, ignoring everyone to bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could give it to Nick Young or Kobe or D'Angelo, or I can just run. And off he goes.
D'Angelo is, you know, the best ball handler in college basketball last year. Let's let him take a back seat to the Julius Randle show.
Hey, I watched Josh do it with Jeff Teague more times than I can count.
God.
Yeah, Robbie already mentioned it, though. Like, the reason why I'm so skeptical of this draft class is because the last two have been so bad. So hopefully, you know, I guess my expectations aren't that great, but that also means that if something good happens, I could be pleasantly surprised. So there you go. So Zinger, Mario, and then there's the rest of them.
And then there's the rest. That's how it should be listed. I know everybody's like, oh, Towns, Okafor. No, no, no. Those aren't the stars. We know who the real stars are.
Yeah.
That was our Western Conference preview, as well as a look at the rookies. Follow Adam Jacoby at Adam_Jacoby, J-A-C-O-B-I, and follow Robbie Callan on Twitter at R-K-A-L-L-A-N-D. He also covers college football and golf at CBSSports.com. As for this podcast, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also download the show at RareRay.net. You can find the show also on Stitcher and the Happy Hour Network. Follow the podcast Twitter at RareRayIsFun, and you can follow my personal /basketball Twitter at TheNoLookPass. We're going to end this show on a sad note, as Minnesota head coach and president of the Timberwolves, Flip Saunders, passed away on Sunday at the age of 60. We're going to pay a little tribute to him as we talk about his accomplishments in life, as well as what he did for the basketball community. So, here it is.
We're going to end this podcast on a somber note. Flip Saunders passed away quite suddenly, really, today at the age of 60 to cancer. So it's a really sad day if you're in the NBA, into the NBA. He was in Minnesota, Detroit, and some bad years in Washington that I really don't want to remember. But, you know, I think his claim to fame was taking the Timberwolves to the Western Conference Finals with Garnett, Cassell, and Sprewell.
Mm-hmm.
And then taking the Pistons to 3 straight conference finals in the East.
Mm-hmm.
So, no one's really said anything bad about Flip Saunders over the years, really. Like, they just know him as, like, you know.
He's one of the best dudes in the league. Was always one of the most beloved guys in the league. I think I probably only got to talk to him, I think, once, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But always a guy that treated things with class, was good to the media, every player loved him. You'd never hear a bad word about Flip, and it was so sudden, just kind of how it progressed, because I think he was diagnosed in late June or July.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like 3 months, and then he passed. He obviously had an impact on basketball and so many people. I mean, he coached for 35 years. Obviously wish the best to his family, the Timberwolves organization, and everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he is probably more important to basketball in the state of Minnesota than I would say anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had such a profound role in bringing the Timberwolves into respectability and keeping them there. He played ball, college ball, for the Gophers way back when, and, you know, mm-hmm. he was a big deal back then too. And, it only made sense that, that he would devote so many years to this organization, and that he would mean so much to it.
Mm-hmm.
When they announced a couple, is either yesterday or 2 days ago.
Yeah, a couple days ago, yeah.
That he wouldn't be back this year. I didn't want to believe it, but it was basically the exact same thing that happened with Indiana's college football coach, Terry Heppner, back in 2007. After the 2006 season, he had been diagnosed with brain cancer. And, you know, then there was the news that he had been hospitalized and it was going to be a long-term hospitalization. And then, we're just not sure how much we're going to get out of him next year. And then they made an announcement, a couple weeks before the season started, before the 2007 season started, that, he's just not going to coach this year. And at the time, you know, I'm still in my 20s, and I didn't know any better, and I was like, huh, well, that's sort of weird. I don't know how they can just rule it out for an entire year. Like, what if he gets better in 3 weeks and this and that? And then, you know, the next day, they're like, well, he's passed away. And then it sort of made sense. And so when that announcement came, about Flip, I was like, oh no, oh no.
Yep.
And yeah, I mean, cancer is an awful thing. It is so awful. And the first time they mentioned complications, I mean, complications are what killed my mom. And it was 76 days from, diagnosis to, you know, that day in the ICU when we had to say goodbye. And it works so quickly, and it makes your body so incredibly sick, that it's not like there's a cancer, but everything else is working great. It throws everything into this absolute maelstrom of illness, and the chemotherapy and other treatments, those make it worse too. And so it turns into this balancing act, and not everyone can balance it. And it especially if you're in your 60s. I mean, we think 60 is too young, and it is too young. No one should die at 60. But once your body's in its 60s and you throw Hodgkin's lymphoma into that mix, it's a miracle if you come out of it strong and healthy. It's an absolute miracle. And it sucks when somebody who had been, you know, his own miracle for the sport of basketball and for the state of Minnesota, when he doesn't get that miracle returned to him, and his body doesn't work that exact same way. It is so brutally unfair, and it's such a sad day today in basketball.
Zip mm-hmm. Saunders, may you rest in peace. We're so sad that you're gone, but we're just glad that your suffering has ended, and rest in power, Zip Saunders.